Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Montel Weekly Podcast, bringing you energy matters in an informal setting. My name is Richard Swarrison, and I'm joined today by Caroline Brunellison of DNV. We're standing in the lobby of the Hotel Alcora in Amsterdam, so listeners, apologies for any odd noises you may hear in the background. But Carolina, we're here to talk about a project or a platform that DNV just launched. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Hello. So my name is Caroline Brunellison. I'm the Global Head of InstaTrust at DNVGL. We are now releasing the beta version of InstaTrust, which is a marketplace for corporate PPA. So basically, we're trying to bring transparency and liquidity in this market by enabling buyers to identify and search through PPA options and project developers to identify PPA demands.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit more about the platform? What is it and how will it help the market for PPAs in general?
So when we look at the development of the PPA market, corporate PPA market, it's very much today this bilateral agreement between corporate energy buyer and project developer. And we see that it's moving towards more digitalization. What we are offering is an online platform to facilitate the connection and towards automated matches. So suggestion to buyers what kind of project they should look at and what risks they are exposing themselves to for each project.
Mm.
Of course, it's one of the steps towards more features. We will move towards aggregation of several buyers to scale up this market and also offer a scoring of the projects to help buyers identify the risks. Mm.
So it's more electronic or automated matching of a buyer and seller on a platform, because the market, as I understand, is very, very complex. There are so many PPA contracts out there, both synthetic, sleeved, corporate, physical. So your platform will offer all of those kind of products?
I cannot say about the exact roadmap as we are in the beta version.
Mm.
But what I can say is that as a first step, the connections between two parties who want to sign an agreement and aligning the expectations on a more transparent manner.
Mm.
Over time, it will evolve in more assistance to the buyers for the structuration of the PPA.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, we are launching mostly the matchmaking platform.
Okay, what are the next steps? You say it's a better version. What happens after this?
The next features we are developing are very much focused on scaling up the market. So we're looking at the PPA market, and it's there's exciting deals being signed, but it's still very small compared to the role it should play to enable renewables to thrive in this merchant risk renewables.
Mm.
So that's features around aggregation of buyers, and it's also features around risk mitigation tools. And the next phase is for us to also allow the buyers to issue tenders on the platform.
Mm. So when you say merchant risk, I mean, it's basically because they're subsidy free and they need to find, this is the best way to finance large scale renewable build or for companies looking to procure more green energy. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the other risks involved here on both side, buying and selling side, that you're hoping to mitigate?
We could sum up the risks on fuel risks, operational risk, and price risk.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking at the fuel risk for renewables, it's mostly about the intermittency, availability of the resource. So looking at what kind of structure buyers agree with, so pay as generated or pay as consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, the higher penetration of renewables brings also challenges and risks, because you will have to hedge for risks when the prices are very high as a buyer in some of the structures. That the credit risks stay one of the biggest risks, especially look at one of the main risks for investors.
Mm.
and finally operational risks are still sometimes allocated to buyers while they don't have any control on performance and maintenance of the assets.
So it's quite a risky business, the PPA world, really. There's a catalogue of different risks that need to be addressed. And
If I could just add on the history, if you look at the history of the PPA, it's actually when you look at when it started, it was a contract between utilities and fossil fuel plants. So really players that...
There's quite an old...
It's quite different. It's utilities have this trading capacity. They have a diversified portfolio and the fossil fuel plants are dispatchable. And we transferred this to corporates that have a completely different risk profile and renewable plants that are intermittent and variable. And of course, it has been adapted in some ways, but the fundamental risk allocation hasn't changed. And that's a big issue for the market to scale up.
What is the role of utilities at the moment then in a platform such as yours? Because they're often, I mean, I suppose it depends on the type of PPA, but what's their role?
We consider any counterpart selling renewable energy as a participant on our platform, so you can join as sellers. And of course, over time, as a platform business for PPA will mature, there could be more users to those platforms, including the traders, utilities, other kind of service providers that want to join and offer the services on the platform. But currently, we open it to buyers and sellers of green power.
And what kind of scale are we talking here? I mean, what are the numbers? Are there sort of, you know, anything from 1 megawatt to 500 or?
Yeah, we're more focused on utility scale or quite large projects because it's has been the kind of companies who supported us and tested the platform with us. But if we want this kind of platforms to play a role in scaling up corporate PPA, it has also to be smaller projects for smaller buyers.
Which would then be aggregated as well, or there's a role for the aggregators to come in and offer?
Yeah, of course. So that's one of the features we are working on as this aggregation of several buyers based on a standardized contract and also building a portfolio of smaller projects for a buyer to match their load. So also including this more multi-technology PPA portfolio that could benefit their risk profile.
Where do you see yourself being active? Which geographical areas are you looking to grow in or to develop the product in?
So
the platform.
Being at the resource now, it's very much European customers we are starting with for this beta version. There's no restriction on the features in terms of geography, but of course we see some of the markets where conditions are more beneficial for corporate PPA, and it's more likely that it will take off.
What markets would that be?
Beyond Europe, there's of course the US, where there's existing similar solutions.
That's quite booming anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
But I mean, thinking more in Europe, which countries in particular do you see most potential in?
Well, UK, Spain, Italy, Netherlands, and then we're looking at France and Germany very carefully. Of course, there's some regulatory barriers that needs to be removed, but a lot of discussions in those two countries, and a lot of also advocacy to remove those barriers.
We'll come back to those barriers because I think that's quite an interesting development. That's going to removing those is going to push the market even further, isn't it? But I think my next question was really going to be about the competition. I mean, we've heard here at this conference in Amsterdam there was three platforms offering similar kind of PPA deals or possibilities to match buyer and seller. Would that be a correct understanding of it, that it's becoming more of a competitive space?
I think slowly, but it's also a very good sign. It's very healthy. I think to have several solutions being pre-launched or launched today is good. And it's also very interesting to see that each company behind this PPA platforms come from a different angle. So we are a technical advisor. We are third-party independent advisors. Some are providing materials. Others are more startup technology with no previous experience in energy. So I think having different background also brings the priority for the features on different levels. And that's interesting for the market.
For sure. Because there has been a lot of discussion about the complexity of the deals, the length of time it takes to complete the negotiations. But would platforms like yours then cut this right back? A, add to transparency, and B, cut the time it takes to reach such a deal?
That's really how our hope and our vision. I think a lot of the informal discussion between buyers and sellers take times, and also a lot of time is spent on aligning expectations, revealing the preferences, and that could be time saved using platforms like InstaTrust. And then there's I think we're still at a phase where there will be structuration and negotiation offline. I think it's important to mention that we're not at a stage where any of the of those platforms offer a fully digitalized experience and tradable commodity for the PPA.
But it's not from tomorrow anyway.
But not for tomorrow. But it's a step-by-step approach, I guess.
Sure. And returning to those regulatory barriers or the obstacles to really push this segment forward, what are they? I mean, they maybe they're different in different countries, but you mentioned Germany and France. Maybe we could start with those.
Both in France and Germany, the transfers of geos are not allowed if projects receive remuneration subsidies. And that's a big issue because, of course, the incentive for corporates is quite low. They don't get this certificates. And another regulatory issue that is a lot of discussed during this conference is the cross-border PPA, where we need to facilitate those deals and especially the transmission line availability on the long term to allow cross-border PPAs and allow the most effective deals for buyers.
So what needs to happen there? On the the regulators need to sort of overhaul their basically the rules, or because in new renewable energy directive there is Article 15 which says member states have to do all they can to enable, to incentivize,
to remove the barriers,
barriers for corporate PPAs in particular.
Absolutely. I think this is very typical barriers that are discussed nationally. I'm more aware of what's happening in France, and that's one of the barriers that it's discussed is this transfers of geo that needs to be possible. Cross-border PPA question is more a European question that that needs to be settled between the different member states.
Sure. Is it possible then also to purely match buyers and sellers of geos on your platform, or does it have to be in conjunction with the power purchase agreement?
So we have decided not to offer the unbundled certificates on the platform. We've considered it. I think other platforms are emerging in Singapore for SP, and in Norway there's Bicor, there's the Energy Web Foundation working on it, there's initiatives in the US, so for sure certificates seems to be like a more commoditized product that many started with for the platforms. But from our discussion with many buyers, they want to move away from this unbundled certificates to make sure they can claim additionality. So our decision has been to focus on a more complex but maybe longer term solution of the PPA.
In terms of additionality, just for those listeners who aren't aware of that term, that's basically for new renewables build, is it not?
I think it can be defined as the ability to claim that you're adding capacity to the grid, so you're contributing to a project being built and financed by signing this long-term power purchase agreement. Well, for the certificates, it's usually a one-year purchase, so it doesn't, and the price doesn't allow the project to be built. It's an additional cost for the buyer. It's an additional revenue for the developers.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, Karin. Just a question about how your platform and others will coexist with sort of power exchanges where power is traded both physically and financially, varying from you know 15-minute products to many years further out in the curves. How will your platform coexist with those exchanges?
Yeah, we followed very closely the offer from the exchanges of these longer term contracts, I think you mentioned earlier 10 years, and I think it's very complementary and not a competition to any corporate PP market growing and thriving. In some cases, for some buyers, it would make more sense to go towards these players and sign these agreements. But again, on the additionality issue, it doesn't have the same spectrum of additionality, let's say.
Caroline, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you
for joining
so
the Motel Weekly Podcast. Joining me at the Resource event in Amsterdam, where the hot topic is PPAs, is Mariana Heinrich from WBCSD, if I have that correct, Mariana?
That is correct.
Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Obviously, the key issue here is the PPA market in Europe. Could you say a few words about that? We heard earlier from another guest who was talking about the use of PPA platform to bring buyers and sellers together. I'd like to discuss more generally the market, how you perceive it at the moment in Europe. Has there been a slowdown or not?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So corporate renewable power purchase agreements, so PPAs, have historically developed in the US and started really around the year sort of 2013 to 2015 to slowly grow. Now, hence that movement then slowly spread across the globe and of course also Europe. And so in the years of 2015, 16, 17, we started to see a slow but steady pickup of corporate renewable PPAs also in Europe. In 2018, we had a record year with several gigawatts of capacity being added. Now, when you look at the statistics from today, I understand why you're asking me the question about the slowdown. And really, I don't think we're seeing a slowdown as such. I think we're actually seeing that a lot of corporate buyers are learning, and hence they are taking a little bit longer to sign their deals because as the market is maturing, we see more innovative deals. But obviously, as you're doing them for the first time, they take also more time to negotiate. And I think by the end of the year of 2019, we're probably going to see around the same figures that we had for 2018, maybe even more. And one other point that is really important to note as well is that not all corporate PPAs are made actually public. So there are a few companies who may be signing deals, but because of their business strategy, their climate and energy strategy, they might decide to not make those publicly known.
So they keep it quite hush-hush.
Yeah.
So in terms of numbers, Mariana, could you just run through what we saw last year and what for, was it mainly wind or mainly solar and what are the expectations for this year?
In 2015, 2016, and 2017, we saw a growth of corporate PPAs sort of between 4 to 6 gigawatts of capacity annually. Now, in 2018, then, we had quite an increase, topping out at 13 gigawatts. And that is, that is global numbers. Now, if we're just looking at the European numbers, then it is 2 to 3 gigawatts on average over the years 2015 to 2017, then a bit more in 2018, which is sort of around 4 gigawatts. And to date, in 2019, we have 1 gigawatt, and that figures as of the middle of September 2019. So I expect that at the end of the year, we're going to be hitting again a number between sort of 3 to 4 gigawatts for the European market. Looking further ahead, we think that corporate renewable PPAs are a great method for companies to source renewable electricity for their operations. Equally, they're not for everyone. So there are other alternatives like on-site solutions that could be made in a direct investment or in a corporate PPA. There's also the purchase of guarantees of origin that is an option for some corporate buyers. And equally, some companies may decide that they prefer to work with their local utility and think about how the local utility can actually offer them a green tariff for their operations.
So it doesn't have to be a PPA, you know. But these are quite complex, both contracts and negotiations. Is there a case for saying that these should be simplified?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So really, it depends on what type of company we're talking about. So if it is a small to medium company, then their appetite to sign complex deals and negotiate for 6 to 9 months to have one deal signed is not going to be high. Mm. So for small to medium companies, we hope that standard corporate PPA agreements will become easier. Mm-hmm. However, there will always be risk involved, and every company has to evaluate those risks against the opportunities and benefits that they do bring. So yes, we do need simpler deals for those companies. Equally, I think when we're talking about big multinational companies, then they often have a very strong business strategy, climate and energy strategy, and sustainability strategy that determines how they want to source electricity for their operations. And hence, some of them might decide that a standard deal is the right thing for them. And others may see that they need something a bit more specific that really fits to their operations, fits to the time of the day, for example, when they source the most power, or also fits to their sustainability story. And what we often forget, actually, is if we're looking a little bit beyond Europe, that when companies are sourcing electricity for their own operations, then often that doesn't only benefit their own operations, but also the people that live, for example, in the community around them. So many companies, when they are sourcing electricity in economies that are just developing, then they wouldn't only look to supply their own operations, but also see how they can help the local communities with supplying power to them. Mm. And hence, these type of considerations will also influence the decisions that corporates take.
Sure. What are the current barriers, I mean, preventing the growth of PPAs, and how can they be, you know, reduced or taken away?
In Europe?
In Europe, yeah, specifically in Europe.
In Europe, we have, I think, two big barriers that if removed would unlock the potential of corporate sourcing of renewables even further. The first one is around regulatory barriers. So we now have at the European level the Renewable Energy Directive number 2 and RED 2. And hence that enables or gives a framework for national regulation to adjust in line with that European directive. So there the barrier is really how quickly and how thoroughly will the European countries implement the European regulation. Mm. And, you know, some of them are already compliant, others are not compliant at all, and hence it's going to take a little bit of waiting and seeing on who will be the markets that are implementing it first, hence opening up to give more choice for corporate buyers to purchase electricity there. The second item that is really important to unlock the potential of corporate sourcing of renewable electricity is European market harmonization, because ultimately, what a company wants to do is supply their operations. Now, while country barriers, country borders, of course, exist from a political point of view, the electrons flow throughout Europe without consideration of where a country ends and starts.
Of course.
And hence, the different market prices that we're seeing across Europe make it difficult for companies who have, for example, a load in France to supply that with power from Spain. And as companies are trying to purchase for their operations from different facilities across Europe, or maybe even try to purchase from just one facility, like a big asset in one location, and supply several of their European country loads with that, it really comes down to how different are the market prices of those two locations. And I'm not necessarily saying that it is a corporate buyer who has to take on that risk and manage that risk of the different market prices. It could also be done by the developer or by a third party. But it's going to be, there has to be one party who deals with that risk. And hence, that is one fact why we see not so many what we call cross-border PPAs in Europe to date. Now, if market harmonization will increase, and there's various factors of how that could be achieved, an increase in interconnection between countries is one of them, then that risk will not go away, but it will become smaller.
So that was going to be my next question, really, is part of the whole energy union and what the Commission is trying to do with the clean energy package is also to boost cross-border links and cross-border trading of electricity and gas. But sticking with electricity, so that then what you're saying is the barrier to doing similar moves in PPAs are the price differentials and the price spreads between the different markets. Are there other barriers preventing that from happening, or how do you see those barriers being removed?
Yeah, so number one barrier is the market price differences, and ultimately those apply to what we call virtual PPAs in the form of a basis risk or a hedge risk, which means exactly taking away the market price differential, so that the corporate buyer, who assuming that corporate buyer wishes to have a hedged electricity cost for them, then that is the biggest barrier. Now, there is a second one that particularly also relates to virtual PPAs when it comes to IFRS accounting. So IFRS...
Lots of jargon.
Yes, lots of jargon.
And abbreviations. But yeah, absolutely. I think that's an important point, though. Please go on.
So IFRS is the accounting standard, the international accounting standards that typically European companies would be applying. And a virtual cross-border PPA will introduce effectively derivative accounting into a company's accounting under IFRS. And that is often something that a CFO may or may not be feeling comfortable with. And hence, some companies to date have decided that that is something that they are not willing to take on. But as I said, it is related to those companies who are under the IFRS accounting standard. Other companies, for example, particularly ones that are under the accounting standard used in the US, GAAP, another short abbreviation here, will have an easier time, because there it doesn't necessarily immediately lead to derivative accounting.
So there are many different types of PPAs, and what we're hearing at this event here in Amsterdam is a lot of talk of physical and virtual. How would you explain that difference to the man on the street then, for example?
Right, that's a good question. So if we're talking about a direct PPA, then that effectively means that the power that is fed into the electricity grid from a renewable asset will be notionally transferred to the site where the corporate buyer is consuming the power. And that is notionally transferred in a way that the system operator that is operating the electricity grid will make sure that that power gets there. Now, what is important to understand is that it's not the exact electron that has been fed into the grid, but the power is notionally in the transmission system flowing from one side to another side.
So this is a direct or a physical PPA.
Exactly. Yeah. And when we're talking about a virtual or synthetic PPA, then that means effectively that it is a financial transaction. So there is no flow of notional flow of power from A to B, but it's simply a transaction that companies are designing to hedge their electricity cost. And so the operator will further on, the renewable asset operator will further on feed the power into the grid, but will receive a price from the local wholesale market for that power, while the corporate buyer will keep on buying electricity from their local provider that they have always bought electricity from. And then the two parties will settle the difference between the two prices and the agreed PPA price in a way that the corporate buyer as well as the renewable asset developer have made a hedge for their position.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think the man on the I think you did it very well. You explained it very well there, Marianne. Finally, just could you say a few words about your organization? So WBCSD, what does the company do or the organization do?
So the World Business Council for Sustainable Development is a global CEO-led organization with over 200 leading businesses who are working together to accelerate the transition to a more sustainable world. So what does that effectively mean is that we're trying to help our member companies be more successful and sustainable by focusing on the positive impact for their shareholders, for the environment, and for societies. So in short, we're trying to make sustainable business also the most profitable business.
Perfect, Marianne. Thank you very much for joining the Montel podcast. That's all for this week, listeners. We will be in Paris next week talking about French nuclear issues. So that's all from me. Goodbye. And
goodbye.
Yeah. And please follow us on Montel News and also on social media such as LinkedIn and Twitter. You can subscribe on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts.